In sorrow, seek happiness. Dostoevsky, The Brothers Karamazov. I need to know their names, those women I would have walked with, jauntily, the way men go in groups, swinging their arms, and the ones, those sweating women whom I would have joined after a hard game to chew the fat. What would we have called each other laughing, joking into our beer? Where are my gangs, my teams, my mislaid sisters? All the women who could have known me, where in the world are their names? Lucille Clifton, The Lost Women. Author's note. Though some of the characters who appear in this novel are based on historical figures, and many of the places described, such as the Christopher Street Piers, Sally's, The Saint, Paradise Garage, were important places during the decades covered, it is important to note that this narrative is fiction. The portraits of the characters who appear in the story, along with the events and journeys covered, should not be taken as a historical record. I believe that the role of the novelist is to search for poetic and narrative truth, and it is my sincere hope that this novel is a representation of such an effort. Part 1. Motherhood, Sisterhood. Perhaps home is not a place, but simply an irrevocable condition. James Baldwin, Giovanni's Room. Motherhood, 1976 to 1981. Angel, 1980. Girl, before there was Dorian and before there was Hector, there was 1980, the year that things began to change. Diana Ross was pumping on the radio. Angel was 16 years young, and already she felt she was being turned upside down, inside out. Boy, oh boy, everything was turning around, around. If the 70s were the decade of disco, then the 80s would be what? The beginning of a new era? The decade of the sequin? It was the time that Angel the he became Angel the she. Even if it was only something felt within the deepest layers of her soul, she knew that it was there, underneath the skin and the bone, as thin as a sheet of silver foil. It's not that she felt trapped in her boy body. She felt as libre as a paloma on a humid summer night, flying up and around the project buildings of Da Boogie Down. How good it felt to say she. Because she didn't need to be a woman as much as she needed to have the air of a woman. So when her mother and brother Miel were out of the house to run the weekly errands, Angel would take off her jeans and shave her legs. She stood there naked in front of Mommy's vanity. She tucked her stuff back, up and away with a piece of duct tape, and closed her legs so that they crossed like an X. Her skin was so smooth, her body so lean. But then there was her face. She knew she wasn't nobody's conception of cute. But oh, maybe when she got older, she could cover it up with makeup. She could put on fake lashes, tweeze her brows, and put liner on her lips to make them look more plump. Years later, she'd think back on those nights and wonder what in Christ she was thinking being all tacky-tacky like that. But in the moment, it all felt right, and she, for the first time that day, felt beautiful. She took out the crumpled picture of Betty Davis that she hid inside her science textbook. She loved Betty Davis because she loved her sass. On summer nights, she sneaked down to the midnight showings of Betty's flicks in the Village and Chelsea multiplexes. She loved the drama of it all. She had picked up smoking because Betty Davis made it look so classy.